Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians, the little church that could, as we continue our study through that book. 1 Thessalonians. Today we cover an entire chapter, chapter 3. It's short, and so we'll look at the entire passage there. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. And I'm going to ask you to stand again as we read the text and hear what the Apostle Paul has to say to his dear friends, really his children in the Lord, in that small church in Thessalonica. So 1 Thessalonians 3. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for letting us look in on these things that Paul wrote to these dear people, people he loved so much, people who had really stolen his heart. He saw them come to know you through Jesus. He saw them begin to live their Christian life. And Lord, even after he had to leave, we see that he just cared so much about them and thought so much about them. Thank you for this chapter where we can see the encouragement that Paul experienced. And I pray that we would be encouraged as we see these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are all aware that there is so much bad news out there, right? Every day we hear all kinds of bad news at every turn. And sometimes we hear so much bad news that that becomes the only thing we think about. And we unfortunately find ourselves consumed with that bad news. And what we forget is there's a lot of good news out there. There are a lot of good things happening all around us. And we can't lose sight of that. Proverbs 25:25 has a really wise thought for us to keep in mind. It says, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Isn't that true? We've all had experiences where maybe there's been friends or family that we haven't seen for a long time and we're wondering how they're doing. And sometimes we even get anxious and maybe even fearful about how they're doing, haven't heard anything from them. And then all of a sudden we get a card, we get a letter. Your parents can tell you kids what a letter is, all right? But we get cards and letters. and maybe a phone call all of a sudden, or somebody comes into our life and says, hey, I saw so-and-so. And we find out from these communications that this family member or friend that we've been thinking about and wondering about is doing great. And there's good news about them. And it's refreshing, isn't it? It's exactly what we needed to hear. Like they say, it's just what the doctor ordered, to receive that good news, that encouraging report about people. I have good news for those of you who love fruitcake. I know there are a few of you. Recently, an exploration group down in the Antarctica came upon a hut that had been used by Robert Scott during his expedition there in 1911. And in this hut, they found frozen fruitcake. Upon thawing it out, they found that it was great. After 106 years. So, if you happen to have some fruitcake in your freezer from 1985, I would recommend this Christmas take it out. It's going to be wonderful. Isn't that good news? For you fruitcake lovers. In our passage today, Paul receives good news. He receives an encouraging report about the Thessalonians. And we want to just kind of follow through chapter 3. Most of what I want to say is on your study sheet. So if you just follow along there, you'll have it. I want to kind of hurry through because we're going to hear from some other people as well. Because I want you to hear some encouraging reports. But this all came about, as you know, if you've been here the last few weeks, because Paul has concerns. He has concerns about this little church, this little group of fairly new believers in Thessalonica. People he cares about, people he got to spend time with, people he led to the Lord, but then people he had to leave quickly for safety. And he's thinking a lot about them, and we've been reading about that. So he has a concern for them. If you go back to chapter 2, verse 14, last week he was talking about how these Thessalonians were suffering at the hands of their own countrymen. They were being persecuted because of their newfound faith in Christ. There was opposition there in that big city of Thessalonica. And this little church was right on the receiving end of that persecution. So they're suffering. Paul's concerned about that. In chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, we were reminded that Paul had been torn away from them. But also, he told them that he had made every effort to get back and see them. But he says Satan kept hindering us. Satan kept stopping us. We tried and we tried and we tried to get back to see you, and we just couldn't. And so you put those two things together. These people are under great persecution, and Paul has been trying to get there to see them and not able to. He's concerned. He's wondering how they're doing, wondering what's going on. In fact, in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3, the last part, notice he says, I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. That's part of his concern. What if Satan, through this persecution and opposition, is working on these new believers, on this new little church? And what if he's being successful? What if he's creating in them doubts about continuing as a church, continuing as followers of Christ? What if he's causing this opposition to wear them down? That happens, doesn't it? If somebody opposes you long enough, keeps coming at you long enough, it just wears you down. And so he's concerned about this, and he's afraid that Satan's doing a work in the lives of these people and in their little church. And that maybe they were kind of in their faith becoming unsettled, is the word he uses. If you look at verse 3, he talks about being unsettled by these trials. In other words, shaken, disturbed. All that's happening. He's just concerned, and you can see why. You've experienced that kind of concern, I'm sure. And so there is a concern here. And what he says is, I couldn't stand it any longer. He actually says it twice in this text. Verse 1, he says, so when we could stand it no longer. And then verse 5, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer. He's got to do something about this. He can't go. So what's he going to do? He's going to send somebody else. And so he sends Timothy, one of his companions. Verse 1. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. I couldn't get there. I tried. Concerned, afraid that Satan's doing a work, not knowing what's going on with you. And so I decided it's okay for me to stay alone in Athens. I'm going to send Timothy. And he's going to come and see how you're doing and strengthen you in your faith and encourage you in your faith if there is a need for that. Verse 5, he says, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. So he's concerned for them, what they're going through, how it's affecting them. And so he sends Timothy to find out. How long Timothy was there, we don't know. It doesn't say. Paul doesn't give us that information. But Timothy went to Thessalonica to check things out among those believers in that little church for Paul. As we come to verse 6, he says, and then Timothy came back. In fact, he says, Timothy has just gotten back and he has brought an encouraging report about the Thessalonian people and that little church. He's brought back good news, and it must have been like cold water to a weary soul, like the proverb says, for Paul to hear this encouraging report concerning the Thessalonians. What was the report? Well, first of all, their faith and their love are just fine. They're just fine. Look at verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and your love. They're doing well. They're doing great in the area of faith. It's apparently not unsettled. They apparently haven't given in to Satan's temptations. Their faith and their love are doing well. That's the report. Another report that really was important to Paul, and you'll understand this. Look what he says next. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Now, why was that important news for Paul to hear? Remember, there were troublemakers in Thessalonica who were raising suspicions of Paul, right? They were making accusations concerning Paul. And one of the things they apparently were sharing with the believers there in Thessalonica is that Paul had run out on them. That's why he left so quick. He didn't care about them. He was concerned about his safety. So when it got tough, he left. He doesn't care about you. Forget about him. Forget about what he taught you. And, you know, after a while, you can start wondering, are they believing that? Is that what they think? You know, that I ran out on them. I don't care about them. Maybe they never want to see my face again. You know, you can see Paul wondering that when he hears about the accusations. And so to hear back from Timothy that these people have precious memories of Paul and they long to see him again, just like he does them. That had to be so moving, so refreshing, so powerful of an encouragement for Paul. And again, maybe some of you can relate to that. Maybe in your past you've had situations with people that didn't end very well, and either you moved or they moved and haven't seen them for a long time, and you've always wondered, you know, are they holding a grudge? You know, what would they do if I showed up to see them? Maybe you've had that experience. And then maybe you've had the experience where later on you found out they still talk about you and they really say good things about you and they would really love to see you. Isn't that encouraging? After you've been wondering, well, that's what Paul hears here, this encouraging report. They're just fine when it comes to their faith and love. And they've got these precious memories about you. And they want to see you. And then also, he finds out that they're standing firm. Verse 7. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. Isn't that an interesting way to put it? And we really live because we heard you're standing firm in the Lord. I'm not sure what that means. We really live when we hear that. Maybe it means we energize you. It really gets us going, gets our heart beating, you know. Basically, he's saying, this is really encouraging to us. To find out you're standing firm in the Lord. And the term standing firm there in the Greek that it comes from is a military term. It's the idea of not retreating when you're under attack. You know, you stand your position. You stand firm, even though you're being attacked. You don't retreat. You don't run. You don't give in. And so what he's saying is, boy, I really live when I hear from Timothy that you guys are standing firm, even though you're being persecuted and attacked and opposed. You're standing firm. You're not retreating. You're not closing down the church. You're not calling it off, this Christian thing. You're standing firm, even though you're being attacked. It was great news for Paul. He says, when I hear that, I really live. And of course, in this text, you find him using statements, and I put them on your sheet in a box there. He says things like, we were encouraged to hear this. We really live when we hear this report. We can't thank God enough. We have joy because of you and what we're hearing. I mean, this was so encouraging to this man. Can you imagine how that would have energized him to continue ministering in Corinth where he is at this time? Can you imagine his concerns have been alleviated? He doesn't have to worry about the Thessalonians anymore, wondering. He's gotten this encouraging report, and now he can continue his ministry without that kind of dogging him, you know, always wondering about that. So this was a tremendous experience for Paul. He's just sharing that with the Thessalonians. I was concerned, couldn't stand it any longer. These were my fears. So I sent Timothy. I couldn't get there. I sent Timothy. And now he's come back with this wonderful, encouraging report that gives me gratitude and joy. I feel like I'm really living now that I've heard this report. I'm so encouraged. And that's what he's telling. That's what he's telling. I mean, there really aren't any instructions for you and me, right? We just get to look in on this little personal thing. And Paul's encouragement upon hearing that good news. But you know, that was Paul. None of us met Paul. None of us knew him personally. It's about the Thessalonians. It's about this little group of fairly new believers who are in this little new church in this big city of Thessalonica. We never met those people. It was almost 2,000 years ago. So we're just reading it, right? We're reading how this unfolded. We're reading about Paul's excitement and encouragement upon hearing this news. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to ask four people to come up here. And I want to make this more present day for us so that you can experience what it's like to hear encouraging reports, right? So you don't just have to read about one almost 2,000 years ago. I want you to hear some encouraging reports, a sampling, because it's only going to be four people. And it's going to be quick. They promised me. It's going to be quick because I still have more to say when they're done. But since we're talking about Paul receiving encouraging reports, I think we need to experience some encouraging reports. And maybe it will bring joy to us. Maybe it'll bring gratitude to us. Maybe it'll cause somebody here to really live because you hear this report. So if all four people could come now at the same time, Elsie Berg, Chelsea Blomberg, Donovan Strong, and Nathan Thompson, you can all come up here. There's three chairs for the one not talking. In the next few minutes, you're going to hear encouraging reports. You're going to hear about how See You at the Poll went at Mesabi East High School a couple weeks ago. You're going to hear about two young ladies who have gone from here and gone all the way across the country to college. You're going to hear a report about them. You're going to hear about a little group of believers, a new church that's starting north of us here. And you're going to hear about a group of young women who are meeting weekly to fellowship and study God's Word. And it's going to be four encouraging reports. And so I don't know who's going to go first, but somebody just step up and one at a time share your reports.
I get to report on the group of young women that get to meet. And, it's just awesome to get. We kind of realized a few years ago that there is a large group of young women that were like, a lot of us were children of, I guess, generations in this church. And it was such a blessing. And whether or not some of us could be in our adulthood, be involved in the Wednesday morning women's ministries or the other night ones, we just felt there was just a group of us that felt really called to like get together and we're pacing at the same things are in life or just happening. And it has been so cool to be a part of this generation in our church where we get to sit around on Monday nights and encourage each other and get to know one another even more, even though we are from all the, you know, and represent all the communities that our church represents. And God has just put studies in our midst and even different leaders in our group that I wasn't continuing to go this summer, but our group didn't stop meeting all summer. It was the same, and it's just been so cool and so encouraging to have just that group of we call ourselves young women, but I mean, you know, we're all whatever, and we joke that we'll get to be the, you know, someday we'll get to fill into that, you know, Wednesday morning slot when we all don't have to work or something. And just how neat too the, I mean, I don't know how you say it, the our parents' age, you know, how they're ministering to us right now too. So a lot of our husbands have decided, hey, we've been sitting at home on Monday nights, so let's start our own group. And then the women's ministry has been watching our children. It's been such a blessing to just see this group just unfold and how God is working. And really for me, through encouragement, just I think for so many of us, and it's been challenging and encouraging and just, building one another up and getting to do that on purpose. And it's been really neat. And we say it's, you know, limited by age, but it's kind of just a generation thing, really, I think we found. But, yeah, God is good, and he's working.
Okay. My name is Donovan Strong, and my wife, Sarah Strong, is right here. Stand up. All right. We actually started Vermilion Waters Community Church. It was birthed out of our home and tower in August 12th of 2012. We actually became a church status March of 2014. One of the things was we haven't had a church on the Lake Vermilion Reservation in Tower since it burnt down in 1950. So we started a Bible study out of our home, and from that, the first day that we met, had a gathering at our house, we had 23 people from the reservation show up. So So there's a strong sign. It was amazing to see how many Christian believers are on the reservation. But one of the things that people kind of do on the reservation is traditional believers in the traditional methods, Ojibwe methods, they tend to tease and belittle Christians on the reservation. So it's a little difficult to share your faith. So that's why we've been hosting it out of our homes. We currently host it out of my mother's house right now. Monday nights, 5:30, we provide a dinner. We also do worship at 6:15, and we usually start our study at 6:30. We've been going strong for 5 years. We average about 12 to 13 people on Monday nights. People trickle in, trickle out. It's a really amazing thing that we do. One of our key scriptures that keeps us going is Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And that's one thing that we do every Monday night, is that we encourage people. Our goal is to be there every Monday night for others and to teach others to be disciples of Christ, to teach them to go out and share the gospel. We encourage them to be bold, accept the challenge, and share your faith and share the love of Jesus Christ. Reflect his love and reflect his light on others, because it's a pretty dark world out there. And we're pretty excited about being here because nothing happens by chance. You know, it's all by divine appointment. So we've been able to connect over here when we came over to the Nell Merck Museum, and we stopped in for a few minutes, and that ended up to three hours of ministry there. So we're pretty excited about that. Another thing is, you know, when you're doing ministry and you're doing Bible studies, you know, don't be discouraged if you have one, two, or three people show up on a night. That's when God really ministers to others, because that's quiet time for you can really work one-on-one with each other. And you get down to the nitty and gritty. You know, that's when that happens for us. You know, we first thought, we're like, okay, there's only one person here tonight besides, you know, us that are hosting. But it was time for ministry. You know, I say you know a lot, but you don't know. But when you're with people and you're down to certain small groups, that's when ministry comes together. You minister to each other. You edify each other. You'll build each other up. And that's what I like about going on trips or somewhere, being confined in a car with somebody, because then you can get to know them. So that's the encouragement reports about what we have going up here on Vermilion. And we really enjoy the church here, and we appreciate it, and we appreciate you guys reaching out to us, and glad that we can share what's happening. All right.
Hi. I'm not used to speaking in front of a group, so if I just look at these papers the entire time, don't judge me. But so I'm Elsie Berg, and I attend Mesabi East High School as a sophomore, and I also frequently attend the Engage Youth Group here at EFRI. Engage encourages this nationwide event called See You at the Pole. It's an event in which Christian students all around the nation gather around their school's flagpole before class starts and pray. This year was my fourth consecutive year participating in See You at the Pole, and I can honestly say it was our best yet. Though it started off a bit poorly with the choir director not letting a girl leave jazz choir practice early in order to attend, it was a very liberating experience. Around 10 people came, and in years past, time around the flagpole has always been super awkward. Like, only a couple people would pray very short prayers, and then we would all leave, and we wouldn't talk to each other for the rest of the day. This year, though, it was a lot different, and it was a lot better. We started off singing a song, Amazing Grace, that my friend Avery and myself led, and afterwards I read a poem I had written. When we eventually prayed, so many people spoke up. Like, usually it's around 1 to 2 people pray. 7 out of the 10 prayed in our group. And we prayed, long prayers and very heartfelt ones about our school, our country, and a lot of things in between. And we ended our little session with, on the count of three, screaming, "Jesus," at the top of our lungs. And all of us laughed and chatted as we walked together to our respective classes. In the 4 years that I had participated, I had never felt such encouragement and unity. The experience solidified my belief that us Christians need each other. As a Christian teen, it's often incredibly easy to be discouraged by the world around you. It's hard to find a friend who cares more about God than they care about how far they got with that one girl last night or how many points the football team scored at the game on Friday. I know that I felt alienated among my peers, and I would bet that most, if not all, the students who showed up at the flagpole that day felt very similar. I was actually dreading showing my face at the pole that day. Showcasing your face that publicly is a very bold and scary thing to do. But once I saw the other students gathered together with me, I felt like I was where I belonged, and I was. All of us belonged there. We were standing up for our beliefs and showing everyone around us just how not alone we all were. We got strange looks, but we got them together, and it was worth it to show our fellow classmates just how serious us Christian weirdos were. It was really a true success.
Pastor asked me to share a little bit about Margie and Maddie, as we have just recently come back from Liberty University to visit them. And, you know, I grew up on a farm, so as a farm boy, I'm always cognizant of and make fun of people who treat their pets like children. But when we took Margie to college and we came back as empty nesters, all of a sudden our dog took on a different role. So we as parents, as Sarah said, I think I have a harder time than she does with little Margie going off to fly and be free at Liberty. But we were very encouraged to drive all the way down to Virginia. It's about a 20-hour of driving time, so any stops that you make, it's extra. So it's two full days of driving to go down there. And I would consider both of these young ladies my daughters, just like we've adopted many people, like Angel as well, to our family, Maddie as well as Margie. So we were very wanting to go see how they were doing. When we got to Liberty, we got to see Margie in her band practice. It was one that parents weren't supposed to be at, but we snuck in and got to see her, and were amazed at how, you know, well, she's figured out all of these complicated band things that they do. And we got to spend the weekend with her, go to a game, and more so spend those quiet moments visiting with her to see how she was doing. On Sunday after church, we were able to get our whole group together. So myself, Sarah, and Amy, and of course Margie, and we called Maddie, and she had some time to join us as well for a cup of coffee there at one of the coffee shops on campus. And we got to just really connect as a family and see how they were doing. Early on, when these girls were thinking about where they would want to go to college, Maddie found out that Margie was interested in going to Liberty, and so she was checking that school out as well. And it's interesting because she was also checking out Louisiana State University, so LU and Liberty LU. She had a brother that was in Louisiana, so it kind of made sense. She could kind of stay with the brother and go to that school. And when we heard that, we just started praying as a family because we just felt that Liberty as a Christian university would be a great experience to help Maddie continue growing in her faith. And the Lord did. He brought her to Liberty along with Margie. These two girls encourage one another. They're in a campus of 15,000 kids. One of the things about Liberty that we're encouraged about is they do come right out and tell you as you're there, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. It is authoritative. It is God's revelation for us for today. They're not afraid to name the name of Jesus Christ. Their theme for the year is creating champions for Christ. The band has devotions every time they get together. And their theme is after God's own heart with David and the Psalms. And we had a chance to connect with both of those girls there, and Maddie as well. She said, this is just life-changing for me. I don't know if I would have made it if I had gone to Louisiana State University. Just the Christian atmosphere, the encouragement I'm receiving here is wonderful. And as it turned out, with the hurricane that came through, her brother got flooded out and is back up here. So he wouldn't have been there either. So I think God just really helped them make the right decisions. They're where God wants them to be. And one of the things as a dad, I connect with my daughters sometimes on different levels, and we understand each other. But we were walking up to that coffee shop to get a cup of coffee, kind of our last visit together for that time that we were there. And Margie was right beside me, and we were like, well, we should get some coffee. She's like, well, it's kind of expensive, Dad. And I was like, that's okay, honey. I don't have anything better to spend my money on. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and all of a sudden that coffee cup became the metaphor for college. And, you know, the money that Mom and Dad are spending, the sacrifice of her being away, that whole thing became a metaphor for that. And she looked at me like, oh, I know this is expensive and a real sacrifice. And I looked at her, and God gave me the presence, because we both thought of it kind of at the same moment. I was like, no, honey, I don't have anything better to spend my money on than to have you here. So God is really changing their lives, continuing to help them grow in their faith. We are very pleased with the university and the choices that both the young ladies are making. They're encouraging one another. It is a Christian university. They have devotions all the time, etc. But both Maddie and Margie work with each other to try to get to a church on Sunday as well, which is very good. And they're checking out a couple different churches. They said that the mega church at Thomas Rowe Baptist Church is nothing like Embarrass. So they're continuing to try to find a kind of a smaller local church family. And at the risk of being a proud dad, I didn't want to totally just, you know, make a commercial for Liberty. So I'll take my sweatshirt off. We'll do it.
So I ask you, are you feeling encouraged? Are you feeling a sense of joy in hearing any of those reports? Gratitude for what God is doing? Maybe you even have a better understanding of what Paul meant when he said, I really live when I hear that about you. Well, those are present day encouraging reports. And I thought it would be really important to hear that, to get a feel for what Paul experienced as he heard these encouraging reports. So once Paul heard these encouraging reports, and he's feeling so good, and there's joy, and there's gratitude, and he feels like he's really living, and he's so encouraged. Do you think at that point he says, okay, now I can stop thinking about the Thessalonians. Now I can stop thinking about that little church. Stop praying for them. I can move on now. I'm encouraged. Some of you are shaking your heads. No, because you've read the last few verses. Look what he says. After talking about how encouraging this was, verse 10. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. I still want to see you. This is encouraging to hear from Timothy, but I still want to see you, so I'm going to keep praying that God will open the door so that I can see you in person, so I can be there, and so that, notice what he says, supply what is lacking in your faith. That's not a put down, okay? What he means is, I just want to see you again so I can share with you some things I didn't get to share with you when we had to leave so quick. I'm sure there were more things he wanted to share, more things he wanted to teach. And I think he's going to teach some of them later in the letter. But he says, I still want to see you because I want to fill in the gaps. I want to share with you stuff I didn't get a chance to. So he's not going to forget about him just because he's heard good reports. Then it goes on, verse 11, you know, may God clear the way for us to come to you. Verse 12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. says, I'm going to pray that God would help you love each other and love everybody even more than you are now. I've heard a good report about your faith and love, but I'm going to keep praying that you'll love each other and everybody around you even more. That's what I'm going to pray. And then he says in verse 13, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And I'm going to pray that God will keep strengthening you and keep preparing you for the day Jesus comes back and I get to stand with you in his presence. I'm going to keep praying that he keeps strengthening you and keeps preparing you for that day when you stand before Jesus. So just because he heard encouraging news, just because he found out they're doing well and they still have pleasant thoughts about him and they're standing firm, he doesn't forget about them. He continues to pray and he shares those prayers with them. What is the application of this? Since it's just a passage where we kind of get in on a personal thing between Paul and the Thessalonians. What I want you to go away with today and think about is the idea that we all need encouraging reports. We all need that because, like I said at the beginning, there's so much bad news around that if you're like a lot of people in our world, a lot of people in our churches, you hear so much bad news that you find yourself spending a lot of time in discouragement. And the bad news starts consuming you and it causes you to worry and it causes you to be anxious. And even sometimes when things go on in churches, you know, bad things happen in churches, right? Difficult, discouraging things. And we have this tendency as human beings to focus on those things. Only think about the bad news. And you know what we eventually, if we're not careful, end up deciding? We end up deciding, that's all that's going on. God must not be working. God must not be doing anything for some reason. Nothing's happening around here. That is absolutely false. God is always working. Jesus said that, didn't he? My Father is always working. The problem is we tend to just focus on the bad stuff. And we conclude that's the only thing that's happening. And maybe for some reason God isn't at work. Friends, he's at work. You just heard four reports. And I could have invited five times that many people to come up here and share encouraging reports. God is at work. The recessional song at the wedding yesterday when the couple went down, God is on the move. On the move, hallelujah. He's at work. And we need encouraging reports. We need to look for encouraging reports. And we need to be willing to give encouraging reports if we see God working. If you see God working, let people know. They need to know that. And a lot of times the people who don't think God is working are people who don't get involved where God is working. They're not around people. They're not able to see what God is doing. They hear the bad stuff. And so they conclude nothing's happening. God's at work. And look for it. And celebrate it. Don't avoid the bad stuff because sometimes God wants us to be in the midst of that bad stuff working and doing his work there. But don't let the bad stuff consume you to the point where you don't think God's working. He's at work. Thank you to you four who shared that with us today. We are encouraged. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise for being a God that's always at work. Father, I pray that no matter how things look, no matter how they feel, no matter how they sound, we can count on the fact that you are at work. And you're at work helping in those difficult situations. You're walking with people through those. But Lord, you're also doing all these great things. And help us, Lord, to see it all and to rejoice. And may the good reports, the encouraging reports of what you're doing, give us strength and grace and energy to walk through the difficult things. Thank you. Thank you for encouraging Paul when he needed it. Thank you that you always encourage us when we need it. We love you. Amen.
The name of this song is Come Alive, or Dry Bones, it's got in parentheses. It's a Lauren Daigle song, and it pretty much talks about just keeping the faith when you have somebody in your life who is a prodigal, whether it be a child or a spouse or a parent or anybody else that you care about. Seems like pretty much everybody has somebody in their life that they are praying for and looking for God to move in their life and make changes. And kind of along the same lines, even if you don't always see what is going on, God is still working. So.
Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road at all the prodigals have walked, one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward son, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. So breathe, O breath of God, now breathe, O breath of God. Breathe, O breath of God, now breathe. Breathe, O breath of God, now breathe, O breath of God. Breathe, O breath of God, now breathe. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive.